Well, does anybody remember what we were talking about the last session? Yeah, it was. We were talking about the, you know, we're teaching the life of Christ, but we were talking about, you know, what Jesus did through the Holy Spirit, in the fact of the Holy Spirit, His work. We talked somewhat about the fact that, you know, the church always has looked at forgiveness of sin was the big thing. And, you know, if we don't understand what Jesus, what He was trying to accomplish, what God had Him do in the earth, we could look at His ministry and we could look at all He did here. And really, I think the church mostly looks at Jesus' ministry with fascination rather than with understanding. They're fascinated by it. They look at what He did. And that's why if people don't have a revelation of what God was doing, it's difficult for people to understand His ministry, what it was really about. Because I can understand why people believe that you're not going to do the miracles are gone and all those things are gone, because men don't have a revelation of God's plan and purpose. And that's one thing, as we look at the Scriptures, and through the Scriptures, we were to get a picture of God's plan and God's purpose in the earth. If you look from the book of Genesis through Revelation and you follow it, it's a progressive revelation of God's plan. And it was always being built on. You know, when it started off, there was a limited amount of revelation. You know, the people in the beginning had really a limited amount of understanding about God. And as God came along and revealed more and more of Himself, people got a bigger understanding. And really, one of the biggest steps that came along was when Jesus came. Because it's just sort of like today, religion has perverted God. It's perverted who and what God is. The Christian in the earth is in the earth for the purpose to reveal Jesus to people. And yet, most Christians don't know Jesus. And they think that their purpose in the earth is just sort of be nice, live a good life, and wait till Jesus comes, or they go, or they die and go to heaven. But they don't realize our purpose is to reveal Jesus. If you're revealing Jesus to people, you're revealing God to people. People will know God. Jesus, His purpose in the earth is, number one, to bring a revelation of God into the earth. Israel lost their perspective through religion of who God was. God was a judge. They only looked at Him through the law. That's all they saw Him. They didn't realize that the law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. In other words, the law was to show them the way to the Messiah, yet they wanted the law and not the Messiah. They just wanted the law, you know. But the law really was it darkened their vision of God. And they saw God as just being a judge and God being, you know, they didn't see or understand the goodness of God. And when Jesus came along and the stuff that He preached and taught, they thought this guy's crazy. This guy's a heretic. You know, another thing, you know, He's out there running cross grain to their beliefs. And that always makes religious people mad. But God's whole intent was to put the Holy Spirit in human beings so human beings could go do the will of God so they could carry out the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, we're the body of Christ. That's what we are. And the whole purpose was for the Holy Spirit. We were born again. We talked the last time about the fact that because the church world has focused on forgiveness of sin is the biggie. That's the biggie. Forgiveness of sin. That wasn't the biggie. That's part of what God did, but that wasn't the biggie. Because when they talk about forgiveness of sin, you hardly ever talk, they don't hardly ever talk about the new birth, being born again, the purpose of it, what it even is. Most Christians don't even know what the new birth is. They don't even know. They're not taught it. It's all forgiveness of sin. Your sins are forgiven. You know, you're just still this rotten scumbag, but you're just a rotten scumbag going to heaven because Jesus forgave your sin. But they don't realize they became children of God. You go over and you start talking to people about what the Bible says they really are. They think you're a heretic. You know, I was just reading some comments that people made online to a certain thing was said about God and these people. I just started reading some of their comments and what people follow up and doing and you know, one person made a statement talking about righteousness, and then another person wrote back, well, my word, nobody has God's righteousness. You know, it's like, put them on, nobody has that. And this person was supposed to be a Christian. Well, I know this. They don't know nothing about Christianity. They don't know what it's about. I will guarantee you, if you go that person, my sins are forgiven. That's what God did. Jesus did all that just to forgive me of my sin. That's what He did. Well, the Jews had that. They had forgiveness of sin. My God, they did it through bulls and goats and didn't have to kill Jesus to do it. It's like, give me a break. And so they don't understand. And this is why, you know, we're looking at Jesus and Jesus' work. If we don't understand God's plan, we would look at Jesus' ministry and it becomes sort of insignificant of, well, what it really was. Because the church world, they look at it today, most of the church world, they look at it, a lot of the ministers and that stuff that I've been around over the years, they look at Jesus' ministry as, well, this was God doing this, and you can't do what God does. Then they'll stand there and tell us, you know, we've got to be more like Jesus. Oh, we can't do what he did, but we're going to be more like him. So people are confused. People are just downright messed up. They don't know what to do because we're painted a picture of what Jesus' ministry was. But if we understand what Jesus' ministry is about and what God's plan was to do and what God wanted to accomplish, then we look at Jesus' ministry, and then Jesus' ministry becomes, you know, it becomes a logical thing for us. Especially, we're looking at it from the born-again side. It'd be one thing if we were looking at his ministry and we weren't born again and looking at it. Of what it is. But from the born again side, we should have a totally different picture of how, of Jesus' ministry. When we look at the Gospels and talks about what he did, we should be able to clearly see the purposes and the things that he was doing and why he did them. And the fact of it is, you know, if God changes not, well, then this ministry of Jesus, and if we have that ministry, well, then all the things that they say ended, it's impossible it could have ended. The only reason people believe that it ended is because they don't know Jesus. They only know forgiveness is sin. They don't know what the plan of God was about. They reject the Holy Spirit. They'll tell you the Holy Spirit lives in him, but they don't want, oh, no, you know, we got it. When I got saved, I got all the Holy Spirit there is. I could tell by their revelation that they don't have the Holy Spirit. Because if they had the Holy Spirit like I have the Holy Spirit, they would know. They wouldn't be walking around preaching a lot of stuff that they preach. They wouldn't be doing it. But they do. They don't have a revelation. And that's why we want to know is looking at Jesus. We're going to begin to look. I want to look in the area because we're looking at Jesus. As we want to look at him as really from his pre-existence standpoint. Because we need to understand this. People either have two images of Jesus. They either have him a picture as he was God, or they have a picture of him as being a man. They can't bring the two of them together. They can't bring this thing to an idea of what he was. It's hard for most people in Christianity to look at Jesus' ministry and thinking what he did by the Holy Spirit as a man, and he didn't do it as God. Yet he was God. And understand, it's important. If he was not God, if he didn't fulfill, he was not that, he wasn't the Messiah, but also he would not have been able to fulfill for us the redemption that was required for men to be saved. And but one of the things that, you know, we've talked about in teaching before in this area, but, you know, is sitting down and looking at, really, God, the plan of redemption was made between God and man, but there is a part of the reality of it. It was actually done God and God. You know, God and Son made the redemption for man. That God really made a covenant with God. God who became man made a covenant. God made a covenant with that man. That God-man. And made it a covenant. And if we accept Jesus Christ, we get to walk in that covenant. And the covenant was really made between God and God. God and the sons, you know, and we got to enter into that covenant. And it's really incredible. We get the benefit of this thing, and it was made by God himself. God made the plan of taking it, making this redemption thing, and we get to step into it. And really, man as we know it, sinful man, never did anything to really enter into that covenant. The only way we can get into it is by faith. You know, it's like teaching on Sundays about Abraham. There's only one way of righteousness, and that's by faith. You will never. That's why it's impossible to enter this covenant any other way than by faith, because that's the only way that God will accept a person as righteous as to believe him. You can't do it by works, because no man's works. That's why the works of a human could never have saved, because they could have never been perfect. And we had God came as a man and fulfilled the law perfectly. Never sinned. It required that. And so he did it, and through that, just that you and I by faith. And see, that's where thing was a hard thing, especially around religion. See, I was born and raised around religion. I could never see myself as being saved, because religion has the idea is you got to do everything right to please God. That's what religion does. I could never see myself as I would have ever been saved, because I could never envision myself doing everything right. I knew Ed. One of the biggest things that really, demonic deception, religious people don't realize it, but they're under demonic deception, because religious people get under spirits that make them think that they're living right and good, and they're, you know, God's going to really like them because of what they're doing. And they will look over at other people and they'll say, "Ah, well, he's not as good, you know. He don't do things as good as I do, you know. And so he's not going to. And that's what religion, they don't realize it. You know, there's religious spirits. Loads of them, and loads of people have them. And that spirit has deceived them into thinking that they're pleased in God because they're doing things right. Because you take what happens to that individual. If they really do mess up, they're going to have to do one thing. They're going to have to ignore it like they didn't do it and lie, or it's going to devastate them. And then what happens is they always try to work themselves back into the relationship with God. They can't come to this place where I can repent and I'm in fellowship with God again and God forgot about it. See, this is why the faith thing is so good. I'm really glad I never bought the works things, because I never could see myself being able to do it. And I often thought, well, what's the purpose of me trying to even be a Christian? Why even be a Christian? So I rejected it. I rejected Christianity. The sad thing is about most people buy religion. And the bad part about it, then they have to work like crazy when they find out the truth to try to get the religion out of themselves to get over into the faith stuff. It's hard to do. It is. It's hard. I saw people fight. They came and accepted Christ by faith, but they had a hard time accepting. Man, I know it's true, it's right, but it was hard for them. It was really hard to grasp that fact that, man, I'm just saved by faith in God, and His grace took care of it. Wow! You know, what happened is religious thinking always is trying to get a handle around that thing. It just, instead of accepting something as true, it's always trying to figure out, it's always got some work tied to it. It's always trying to, you know, reason things out and trying to figure things and trying to do that stuff. And so we want to look at Jesus, because if we look at Him, we need to understand from the Scriptures Him being God. He has to be God. And the Scriptures tell us, and we're going to look through some Scriptures and things that talk about Him and His preexistence. A lot of people look at Jesus, and they look at Jesus as really in the spectrum of time, and they see this, like He began when He was born. And that's one of the things that I think is people need to be careful about how they teach their children. Because what reason so many adults have trouble with it, because really from the time they're a child, it's baby Jesus, and they don't see, they'll talk about Jesus being God born in the world. Jesus wasn't born like another human being is born into the world. Jesus pre-existed. He came in a body. He wasn't born like you and I were born into the earth. You and I became into existence at a specific time in birth. Jesus didn't. Jesus put on an earth suit at a specific time. It's totally different. See, Adam wasn't born into the earth. That's why he's called a second Adam, because he wasn't born into the earth. Jesus wasn't born into the earth like we do, like the rest of the human beings were. He wasn't. He was pre-existent. Pre-existent. And you have to understand that about him, is him coming into the earth. Because this is one of the things, because people don't today, there's a lot of this theology going around, you know, Jesus is my buddy, you know, he's my homeboy, you know, and there's no respect for him as God. And this is one thing is you need to understand. If you don't treat Jesus like Lord and God and like King of Kings and stuff, the Holy Ghost ain't going to work for you. The Holy Ghost demands you respect Jesus. He may be my brother, but he's Lord and God. And see, we don't, our culture has no grasp on these things. And unless people are taught them, they don't have any grasp on them. You know, the days that the Bible days talking about kings and things like that. I don't care if the king was your brother. He wasn't your homeboy. He was your Lord. And if you were his brother, you went and bowed to him like everybody else did. When the king was sitting on the throne, you went in and you paid all the respect, just like everybody else did, of respect to him. That wasn't, you know, you didn't do that kind of, you didn't do the stuff that people do. And see, people lose respect and they do. What happens is we come over and we look at Jesus and his work. People don't realize what God did through sending his son into the world. And we've lost, there's been a lot of loss of honor. You know, there's things about when we deal with eternity that are hard to understand because we don't have anything from the natural side to understand pre-existence, to understand eternity. When we look at something and you use the word, the Bible uses the word forever. You know, how do you, you can't mentally grasp that. You have to learn to listen to things in your heart. Your spirit can understand things your head can't. This is where people get in a lot of trouble. They're trying to reason out things about the Bible, trying to do it mentally. You don't. There's things you just got to accept as true, and, you, and your spirit will be happy about it. But if you keep trying to reason it in your mind... You know, how do we talk about God as in divine and being always existing and stuff? It's like, you know, what can you actually from a mental standpoint grasp but something didn't have a beginning? Mentally, it's impossible from a mental perspective to think about not having a beginning. Why? Because we don't even know what anything would be like not having a beginning. Everything's at a beginning to us. Everything. And if we don't watch it, if we try to understand God, but from a mental process, what happens is we turn around and make God into a human being. And I mean, we make him fallible. We make him like we are. And that's what a lot of the church world's done today. The God that they serve, this Jesus that became a man, they make him just like every other man. And they've made him now fallible. They've made him fallible. He's not. You know, some religious groups turn around and have him, you know, they say that, you know, him and Satan or Lucifer were brothers. That he's not God. He's a son of God, but he wasn't God. And they do now. That it's important to understand because if all that was true, we got real problems with Scripture. But they have real problems because they have no Scripture to prove a thing they say. They've made it up. And people buy it. And so we need to be careful on these things of how we think about him. And is we want to do is look at what the Bible says about what's true about him. And because he was not like we were in birth into the earth. And really, we were born under sin because the nature of sin was passed on in, through the seed of man. And that's why Jesus couldn't have been born into the earth with a natural father. That would have been an impossibility. Couldn't have done that because he would have the sin nature. The only thing that could have worked is not having the sin nature. That's what made him, of, in a sense, was a likeness of Adam. Adam didn't have the sin nature. Adam got the sin nature through falling into sin. And he got the sin, ended up with the sin nature. And he passed that on. He passed that thing on. I mean, do you think about the sin nature? I mean, it passed on. So the sin nature passed on and went into murder in one generation. Think about it. The sin nature is an incredible thing. You know, it's in one generation. You know, they have two kids and one kills the other one. That's the sin nature. Oh, ugly stuff. But when we talk about the preexistence of Christ, we really are talking about the time period before he became a man. That's what we refer to as his preexistence, because he already existed. So what took, when we study and look in the Bible about what took place in Bethlehem, Jesus didn't come into being that day. And you need to think about it properly. Really, God put on a human form that day. When we look at things as we go along and studying these things, you find out it's just like dealing with him. How do we deal with the fact? You know, the Bible tells us, you know, he laid aside his, really from the standpoint of his deity, and lived like a man. How do you do that? There is no, I've searched scriptures, I've talked to people about it, I've read books. Nobody can explain it. But we know he did. Somehow, he laid aside, in other words, he didn't operate under his godly prerogative to operate under that power. Now, we know this, he could have, because of in the garden, he made this statement. In the garden, when concerning the crucifixion, he said, man, if I want to, I could call 12 legions of angels, they'd show up here. You guys couldn't haul me off if I wanted to do that. So in other words, this is a quite remarkable, is the fact of his having all that power, and he never used it. He never healed or did anything that he ever did under his human ability. I mean, under godly ability. He used the power of the Holy Spirit just like any human would have done, been anointed by the Holy Ghost, only doing it that way. And it wasn't because he couldn't have. He didn't. That's remarkable. Do you realize what kind of restraint that would require you? You would definitely have to be, you know, get to some spiritual place where you can, because people would have the tendency to want to use their power. You know, think about the disciples, the difference. The disciples, you know, they come along and say, this guy over here, you know, he's doing something over here, you know, he's casting out devils. And the disciples, you know, some people, they turned him down, and you know, they said, you know, hey, what about that guy? Jesus said, you got to let him alone. And then they turn around, and the guys come along, and they have some people, you know, reject him, and let's call fire down on him. Jesus could have called fire down on him. He could have done that. He could have done that of his own initiative, but didn't. He could have done that, but he didn't. He told them, you guys don't know what spirit you are. Do you realize at that time, just think about it, he's talking about the spirit they are what? They were still dead in sin. They weren't born again at that time. And he told them why. They're operating under that spirit. They were operating under that thing. And when you look at all these things, it's quite incredible to think about it. But Jesus, we want to look at him because he was, the Bible clearly talks about him being as part of the Godhead, the divine Godhead, that he is part of that God divine head, in which he is God. And that's why with people, I think today is too, is also we have the things because people generally do not recognize the Holy Spirit as being God. They say so. People talk about, oh yes, the Holy Spirit lives in me. That means God is living in you. God is actually in you. God is. God's inside of you. See, you know, believing, you know, take about 2 or 3 months and meditate on that. God being in you. It'll change, I mean, it just changed things. It'll change your whole approach about seeking God, about different things. Because people's ideas, most people, most Christianity seeks God like the Old Testament and the temple. They're trying to get to God. Most of the church world, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get to God. They're still trying to get to Him. And because they don't have the revelation. They talk about the Holy Spirit, but most people really don't think about the Holy Spirit being God. He's somebody else. He's the Holy Ghost. He just, you know, I know what they think he is exactly. I'm not quite sure. But they don't think about him in the terms of being God and that God is actually dwelling and living inside of us. So, but is looking at Jesus. One of the scriptures I just want to read from is from the prophet Micah. Micah, and I want to read a scripture here. It speaks, he was speaking of the Christ. It's a familiar scripture because part of it is in this quote from is given concerning Jesus' birth. But it came from Micah, in Micah the 5th chapter. And in the 5th chapter and 2nd verse, it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, it says, though through you are little, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." You know, I've often wondered if in Israel, even in Jesus' day, if they had a revelation because of that from a standpoint of scriptures. They're looking for the Messiah. And I understand this. They knew that because of this scripture, when the wise men came, and the wise men came and they're looking for this king that was to be born, and they are, when Herod asked, he called in, you know, the rulers of Israel, he called, "Hey, where's this Messiah, where's this king, this Messiah supposed to be born at?" Oh, and they, you know, "Hey, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem." They know to go to Bethlehem because of it. In other words, they had this revelation. But you know, the whole thing of it is, I don't believe that they had a revelation that the Messiah was going to be God. They didn't understand the fact that it says here, he's from everlasting. This ruler that's going to come is going to be from everlasting. That's where he's from. In other words, the Messiah is not going to be a naturally born human being. This is the whole thing. They knew the virgin birth. They knew about that. I don't think they had still had a revelation. They're trying to think from the natural mind about things. But the statement, he is from everlasting. In other words, that's where he's coming from. He's going to come into the earth, but where is he coming from? He's coming from everlasting, or he's coming from eternity. He's coming from, you know, no beginning, no end. He's coming from that place. And understand this. You can touch into that place. You're born, your human spirit's born, is in the place of everlasting. The spirit realm is an everlasting place. Nobody ever dies. Now, the Bible talks about spiritual death. Spiritual death is not going to being, you know, go to the point of non-existent. That never happens. The human spirit never dies or has a death becomes, you know, to nothing. Like, say, a human body would die. You put it in the ground. It can rot and go away and turn into dust or whatever it does or anything. Yeah, that never happens to any human spirit, whether a person's born again or not. Their spirit will last eternally. That's why, you know, the lake of fire is an eternal judgment. It goes on forever. Why? Because the human spirits that are going to be there, those spirits, no human spirit ever dies. Like, just even from the standpoint of angels and demons and stuff, exist for eternity. It's a realm, the spirit realm has no beginning and no end, and this is the place of this no time. And so when we're thinking about that, this one who was in this place of no time, that's where he lived. Now he's going to come to the earth. This is what he's going to do. So when we deal with the things of baby, we know this, that Mary didn't have a comprehension of that son being born. She didn't have a comprehension of who he really was, even though the Lord told her, the angel told her about this one coming, Israel was going to be saved through him. When he didn't fall in line and, you know, with everything that the rulers were doing and stuff, you know, she comes down, this guy's insane, we got to get down here and get him and take him out of here, you know. And, you know, she didn't understand what her son was doing. She didn't understand his destiny. Because, you know, I don't believe that the people then couldn't have had an understanding about these things. I believe lots of times it's because people get preconceived ideas. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thought certain things were certain ways, and after a while you found out it wasn't that way at all? And that's what it is. Sometimes we, you know, sit down and we think we know something, and really we don't. As I've gone along and as I've studied the scriptures, I learn new things about it all the time. And I sit there and think, dear Lord, it's different than I thought. You know, because we so easily build a way of thinking around something till we really get to see what it is. It's like, oh, that's not what it was. But so this ruler that was going to come, and he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so, but he was from everlasting. You and I, that isn't how we got here. We came into existence one day. Now, we were in the mind of God. God always knew you were going to be born and knew that, but that didn't mean you existed. God just knew you were going to exist one day. That's fine, but you had a certain day that you started. This one didn't. He was different. And but Micah speaks of him as existing from all eternity, this one. When the Gospel of John in the first chapter, when John opens up, this is one thing is I really like the way the Holy Ghost did, because when we take the Matthew and Luke talk about the birth of Christ. They refer to it, and it's very interesting because then the Holy Ghost has John write, and John writes about his deity. John writes about who he was. And we need that. We need that from a standpoint of balance. John opens up where the other ones open up. Mark talked about John the Baptist. He opens up and deals with John the Baptist and talks about that. Starts off with Jesus' ministry. Mark writes about is really dealing the areas of Jesus' ministry completely from the standpoint of John the Baptist. But his birth, you ever think about this? Now, his birth, which the church world, I mean, His virgin birth is, you know, it's part of what the Bible had talked about was going to take place. But really, from a New Testament perspective, it doesn't make a big deal about it. It's there's not a lot written about it. It's not a whole lot said about it. What is said about it is really from a standpoint of proving that Jesus fell in the line, because the lineages and stuff were put there to fall in line with the lineage. The fact that there was a virgin who had birth. In other words, God moved on this woman. She had a child. She was impregnated by God the Holy Spirit, not by any human means. And she brought forth a son, and that son was really God being born into the earth, putting on a human suit. In other words, that's how he had to get into the earth. That's how he had to do it. But he didn't do it the same way that men do it. John wrote and said, and John turns around and deals with his deity. John says, in the beginning was the Word. This is John, the first chapter, first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So really, think about it, John's writing here. John says, made the statement. He said the Word, which speaks of Christ. That's who the Word. He's the Word. He says he was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, we know that there's some people believe have different ideas. You know, God manifests himself in three different ways. Well, no, that's not what Scripture teaches. It doesn't teach him he manifests himself in three different ways. God is three different persons. He doesn't manifest himself. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There's a Godhead. And that Godhead carries things out. Now, here we have, so it's in the beginning. He was the Word. It says, he was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning. Now, think about this. The Holy Spirit, through John, speaks from the standpoint on human terms. Because really, what words are you going to give? He says, in the beginning. Well, so we think about, so we get in our mind, oh, the beginning, so they started somewhere. But really, Scripture lays down that they're eternal. But it's like him making the statement beginning. In other words, his beginning's with God. In other words, he's always been with God. This is where he's at. He's always been with God, and he is God. So he's there's really... it's hard to explain from a natural standpoint. There's some things from a scriptural standpoint that if you really get a revelation on it, you start to realize that the words that are written are very limited to what it's saying. The words are really limited. Because we have to use language generally that is very limited. The human language is very limited. That's the wonderful thing about tongues. You can speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues and you pray in tongues, you're praying in divine language. You're speaking things that cannot be explained in human language. They can't be said. This is why people who don't pray in tongues are very limited in their prayer life, because they can only talk from the knowledge of human, from the human side, and express things only from the human side. You need to understand this. I wasn't going to teach on it, but the Holy Spirit just brought this to me, and I want to. You need to understand this. There's things in your life that will never come to pass if you don't pray them out in tongues, because there's no English words to say to bring it to pass, and it must be said to bring it to pass. And if it's not said, it ain't happening. See, there's things that people pray out in the Spirit, and you pray out praying in tongues. Those things come to pass in this earth because they're spoken here in this earth. Even though they're spoken in divine language. You know, when my spirit, by the Holy Spirit's praying, the Holy Spirit works in us to get us to pray and say things, to bring things to pass into the earth. That's why He does it. If He can get me to cooperate with Him to say it, God can bring it to pass. It'll bring it to pass. And that's why, is there anything the devil has worked hard at? You know, the devil didn't like the idea of people getting saved, and he liked it less they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And if anything he can do is, once you got saved and you filled the Holy Ghost, he'll get you to keep your mouth shut and don't pray in tongues. And he will stop God from doing many things, because people don't pray in tongues. That's why the devil will deceive people in that area. Oh man, yep, that's the devil. God settled it with me when I first got born again. I got born again a couple months later. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'd pray in tongues. And every time I'd pray in tongues, there's this voice would say to me, "You're not saying anything. You're just making noise." It would say this to me all the time. And I'll never forget. God used to talk to me at work in the lunchroom all the time. I never, you know, strange places where people sometimes, you know, some people, God talks, they're doing this or they do that. God, you know, sees me. But I'd go to the lunchroom. I'm sitting in the lunchroom at Reese's, minding my own business, you know, just there. And this just came to me about this, and all of a sudden, just inside of me came up. If you praying in tongues wasn't doing anything, He would be telling you to do it all the time. And that came up in me, and I just, that settled it. After that, He couldn't have stopped me from praying, speaking in tongues. I did it just all the more. It's like, yeah, He would have. If I was doing something that was wrong, He'd be promoting it. So, but this Jesus, He was from the beginning. He's in the realm of the Spirit. He was in the beginning. He says, all things. Now listen to this to Him. It says, concerning Him. Who is He? All things were made through Him. All things were made through Him. He's the Word of God. All things were made through Him. See, that's why God the Father didn't come to the earth. God the Son came to the earth. He's the Word of God. He speaks God's word. He's the one who speaks God's words. And He was the Word of God. And but everything, it says, now look, it says, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Now think about this. God, the Son, came into the earth to redeem man. This earth He stepped into, He created it all. Everything here belonged to Him. You really understand the humility of Jesus Christ to come into an earth which He made and ruled. It was His. And really, for our sake, He came in here subservient to it, to redeem us. It's quite an incredible thing when you think about it, what He did. This is why people really minimize the fact. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, today, you know, people in their graves for power, people would never think, they wouldn't think at all about ever having to do with something like that. People are basically control today, always trying to control everything, trying to usurp authority all the time, trying to do things. He stepped into this earth. He came here, put on an earth suit to step into an earth that He created, that He made. Everybody in the place, they only exist because of Him. They only live because of Him. Think about that. People think that we just, you know, live here on this earth. You need to understand, if it wouldn't be for the life of God, everybody in this earth would die. You don't self-exist. Nobody self-exists. No one self-exists. Just to sort of a little thing to understand about that. I'm trying to think of what's his name from out in Branson. The minister out there has a church. Keith Moore. Keith Moore tells a story of what happened one time with him, and back some years ago, you know, getting over in the areas, and he was sort of getting a revelation about this thing here, and God did a thing to him. he found out because, you know, God was trying to teach him to bring across the point about the only reason he exists, the only reason he can do what he does and do what he does is because of God. Because, see, people get over thinking, well, I'm pretty good and I know. Most people, this is the way they live. They think that they're self-existing. And that's just generally what people are taught. And that's why people don't have an understanding that they will answer to God one day because they don't self-exist. They're not self-existent beings. Lucifer has to answer to God because he's not self-existing. Understand this. What did it say? Everything was created by Jesus and for him. He has the right to judge everything. He has the right. And anyhow, Keith Moore came along one day and he said, it's like he lost all memory of everything and just trying to do stuff. He said, you know, I don't know if you know Keith. Keith could just sit down at the piano and just play and just do stuff. And he said, I'd go down. He said, I sat down at the piano and he said, I didn't know where to put my hands. I didn't know where to put. He said, I couldn't do it. This happened to him. It started off in a service. And he couldn't play. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't play. He said, anything from a spiritual standpoint, that stuff, he said he lost it all. He said he got over. He said, this went on for a few days. He said, I go to this standpoint, I couldn't do anything. The Lord finally spoke to him one day and said to him, when the Scripture says, without me you can do nothing, he said, how true do you think that is? He said, if I turn the switch off, nobody can do nothing. See, people don't realize where God and God's mercy and grace and working in people, you know, that whether it's sinner or saint or whoever it is, nobody can do anything. It's the power of God that's keeping things running. It isn't man. We don't self-exist. Jesus Christ was a self-existent one. That's why he went and told when they were, they wanted to kill him. He said, Satan doesn't have anything in me. He doesn't have anything in me. In other words, Satan didn't have nothing. Jesus Christ, he said, you know, he made the statement about the crucifixion that he wasn't, that and, you know, he was, they couldn't take his life, he had to give it. In other words, he is the giver of life. And they could, you know, from his, him walking, living in this earth, sinless, he is God, he is sinless in the earth as a human being walking around. He can't die. See, a lot of people don't understand that. If Adam wouldn't have sinned, his body would have never died. The wages of sin is death. When spiritual death came on, that death began to work in his body. Jesus Christ being who he is, you know, as the Son of God, but it came in the earth and stepped in the body, decided to live as a man. When he lived as a godless, if he would have put on a human body and played the part of God, his body would have never died. But the whole point, if as a man and him living sinless, his body don't die. They can't kill him. See, that's why what happened when they wanted to throw him over the cliff when he went to his hometown and they didn't like what he was preaching. And they went there. He says he walked through the crowd because they couldn't kill him. They couldn't have. They couldn't have killed him. See, people, you know, people don't think on the, you know, when a lot the church world don't get. If you understand that and you get the revelation when Paul wrote in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he said the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It'll quicken and make alive your mortal body. See, most people, we got to get revelations on this stuff. Is the idea of this body being made alive? You understand? It's through the Holy Spirit. This body is going to turn around and go as because of our faith in God is going to one day turn on, put on immortality. But you know, we through faith can walk in the power of God that's in us can affect this body. Our bodies shouldn't have the problems that they're having. They shouldn't have them. And the only reason they do is because we don't understand the revelation that God has brought into the earth. Very few people ever get a hold of them or ever grasp them. You know, Kenneth Hagin talked about, you know, years ago there was a guy who, he said, who really got an understanding in this scripture. He said he was a minister, really got an understanding about this scripture. And he said this guy was in his 70s, you know, his mid-70s. And he said, my word, he looks like he was in his 50s. So he looked great, but said he really had a revelation on the fact of the Spirit quickening his mortal body. He had a real revelation on that thing. And we need to understand there's a lot of things that the scriptures and that stuff that today, sort of, you know, I talked about this on Sunday. You know, we people are so filled with what the doctors and what the world has taught and trained us in. We read the Bible and we talk about believing the book. We really don't believe the book. We really don't believe. We generally sit down. We believe what they say to us. These other people have said to us. We filled ourselves with these things and got this stuff into our mind where it's become hard for us to accept certain things. It comes hard for us to accept them. You know, Jesus made statements. If you say in this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. People constantly preach, well, you know, he's not talking about real mountains. He's talking about the mountains of your life. No, he wasn't. He was talking about a literal mountain. We can't do that because we don't believe it. And you can't believe it till you take that as the fact and what they told you is wrong. If I can move a literal mountain, then I should be able to fix a lot of these problems. You know what I mean? Look at Jesus. Now, I mean, look at Jesus came in as a man and he walked. He proved to humanity that by walking and following God, what did he do? He stopped nature from its destruction, from doing things that nature was doing. He changed it. He went out and walked on water. He did those kinds of things. See, people today think that's foreign out there. It's foreign out there because of unbelief. Jesus said, the works that I do, he walked on water. But see, people, we get our little mind over here on this little thing over here. This will be the biggie, and we'll just, and we don't think of in line with how God's talking in line. You know, the Holy Ghost is living in us, trying to take us somewhere. And what he does, he takes what belongs to Jesus to reveal it to us. And the church preaches diabolically against Jesus and what he did that we can't do it. You know, you can't go there. You can't go there. No, you can't go there. He went there because he was God. He stepped down here to show men that men could live like God. He wanted to show man that you could have heaven in the earth. He came down here to reveal. But we've limited. We've set these. We have all these limits and all these stops because, well, it's like today, you know, we've got, you know, over to the church world into, you know, all the things. And we think today this is miraculous as all the stuff that they can do with electronics. And this is the miraculous today of the church. This is the miraculous of people today. Oh, look at the communications we got. Yeah, it's destroying us. Come on, let's get real about all this stuff. But we've lost sight of the miraculous. We're limited to what man's knowledge can do and what man's knowledge could bring. Instead of living over in this area where God has taken us through Christ Jesus, just think about the eternal one. He's the eternal. He always existed. People say, oh, Jesus lives in my heart. Prove it. You see, it's number one. Jesus is always going to lead you to the eternal. Didn't he do that with his disciples? Didn't he lead them always over to the supernatural side? What did he do when he left? He said, hey, best guys I go. What happened? Miracles started. What do we do today? When Jesus comes, we're just all nice folks and everybody just gets along real nice. And we call that's really, really great stuff. They're basically living in the natural. Everybody wants to live in the natural. They want to walk in that plane, in that place. See, and that's why if we don't understand Jesus as this pre-existing one, what was God's revelation to man in sending his son, God the Son, into the earth? What did he want to accomplish? See, what's the point of reading the Gospels if we don't get the revelation of the Gospels? You know, people say, you know, you want to get somebody to Christ, have them read the Gospel of John, you know, read them. The Gospel of John is a whole lot more than just trying to get somebody to get to Christ. Most Christians don't understand it. Most Christians don't grab the stuff that's in it. And it's the whole thing. I believe it's because we don't know Jesus. We see him as in a limited place of time. This limited place of time that we've jammed him into. But man did it. The Bible didn't. Man did it. We did it through our religious teachings. And, you know, we got this, Jesus showed up. And I can understand why people today, they don't seem as God. They don't see, because generally, the church don't. Generally, the church can't see. Then they can't see what we've become in Him. And so we can't see ourselves doing what He did. We can't see ourselves in that place. We got to come to the place we do. We want to identify, when we look at Jesus' ministry, we've got to be able to identify with it. We're on the born-again side of this thing. We're on the people of life side. He was a person of life. We should identify wholeheartedly and not look at it in awe. We should be able to look at it from our side and say, yep, you can do that. We walk like that. But see, it's foreign. The church takes it. The Spirit-filled church takes the ministry of Jesus and looks at it like, oh my God. Now look, we couldn't do the crucifixion side. It would have done us no good. We couldn't have done that. But the works, He said, the works that I do, you'll do also. And greater works than these, because I go to the Father. In other words, what you see me doing down here, what you see me walking in, this is for you guys to do. He said, you see all this I did? You guys do greater than I do. It's like Brother Hagin said, people are saying, we're going to do greater works. He said, hey, who cares about the greater works? You ain't even doing the works. Who cares? But one of the things that you can't change what you do till you change what you think. And here's where the problem has been in the church. It's been a revelation problem. It's been a teaching problem. People are taught on too low of a level. There's nothing to attain to. Now, you know, it's like, you can't attain to a level up here if you're never taught there. And this is the whole thing is made, well, this is over people's head. That's right, you're always going to talk things that are going to be over people's head. But when people see it, it's like me. Kenneth Hagin talked over my head all the time. But I would say, my God, I'm not there, but I want to go there. He would talk about something up here, and I'm thinking, I'm struggling believing down here. But I would look up there, and I'd say, I have a goal to show. I can go to that place. Today, what they do? They throw everything down here on the low all the time. And you know what? Nobody's reaching to nothing. Because, well, you know, we don't want to choke anybody, you know. We don't want to give, you know, choke the babies on meat. The babies will never get choked on meat. They ain't even getting milk in the church. They don't even get milk. The Bible says if you get milk, you grow. So I know this. The church basically don't even given milk. Because generally, Christians haven't grown. Generally. I'm not saying about it. There are people grown, but you take the body of Christ as a whole, they haven't grown. They haven't grown. In fact, many have digressed instead of progressed. But we want to. So I want you to get a vision. You know, we're following after the Eternal One. He didn't become the Eternal One after the crucifixion. He was given all authority in heaven and earth, but you think about this. What did it say? Everything was made by Him and for Him. Nothing exists. So it's stated by. So in other words, He stepped back into a place, in other words, a position that was His. So if we understand that, so if we understand, just think about it. We have Jesus in the earth talking, it's God talking to us. It's God talking to us. When you read the things that Jesus said, so one of the things that I always looked at, and I've said this many times, John G. Lake always said, you know, in any subject, he said, Jesus is always the last authority. If He spoke about it specifically Himself, no matter what anybody else says about it, Jesus is the last authority. And we need to come to that. You need to come to the fact, if Jesus said something was so, you need to come to the fact and saying, that's it. There's nothing else to say on the subject. If Jesus said you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, you've got to learn to turn off the rest of the preachers and whatever they say. If they don't agree with what Jesus said, they're wrong. They are 100% wrong. You either agree with Jesus or forget it. He said, when I pray, if I believe I receive it, I'll have it. There is nothing else to be said about the subject. If anybody, any words that don't agree with that scripture, that's what Jesus said. And see, come to that point. John G. Lake was exactly right. Make Jesus your last authority. Now, there's things from we have in the scriptures that Jesus talked somewhat about. Wasn't real specific, and it's taught in other areas of the scriptures where it is talked about. But things that Jesus specifically said, he's the last authority on anything. Why? Because He is the Word of God. There is no higher authority. There can't be. There can't be. Settle that with yourself. Settle it with yourself. Jesus said it. I don't care what religious people are. I don't care if the guy has a PhD and a whatever else on the rest of his things and he got on there. I don't care what he says. I don't care if he reads Greek and Hebrew fluently. I don't care. I can read words. And if Jesus said something, that's it. And I'll guarantee you, I will go further than that guy any day. And settle with yourself. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. All you got to do is believe what Jesus said. You don't have to understand everything about it. If he said you can do it, you can do it. Side with him. Don't say, well, I don't know if I could ever do that. Well, was Jesus a liar? He said you could do it. He said you could do his works. Did he lie? Or are we lying? I think it's been us. So settle those facts. Just settle. Jesus said that. It has to be true. It's one of those, you see, when you find yourself agreeing with the Word of God, you start agreeing with Jesus. You start agreeing with Him. It'll change your life. I don't care if you know how to do it. It will begin to change you just because you start agreeing with Him. You start agreeing. You start saying, Jesus is right. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus, He said that. I don't care if I can figure it out or I got it working. It don't matter. He said it, it's right. He said, I can do that, I can do that. If I don't see in any way I could possibly do that, there's no way. I will never do it till I agree with Him. First comes the agreement with Him. Most people will never agree with Jesus till they come to a place where they can figure it out, and they will never do that. So they never agree with Him. And they wonder why their Christian life sort of, you know, just goes along and they don't really get anywhere. It's because they never stop and say, you know, Jesus is right about that. And if it don't work for me, I must be wrong. But Jesus is right. And so settle. He's the Word of God. He's always existed. He's always been around. Hallelujah. Praise God. I get over here going and I tell you, I don't. Gee, I only got a few scriptures down from where I was going. I thought I knew what I was going to teach tonight, but I... Hallelujah! Well, it's good anyhow. I'm enjoying it. Praise God. See, I don't mind, but I get over into these areas and talk about this stuff, and I'll tell you what, it just stirs me inside. It does, about Jesus. Hallelujah. But it's really getting over there, making Jesus your authority. Think about Jesus said this in John 8, 58. He made this statement to the Pharisees. He was talking to them in John 8:58. He said, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, assuredly, actually, you look up what that word means in the Greek, assuredly stuff. Now, I'm just assuming that the Greek dictionary is right. I'm just, you know. But really, it would be like we would say, I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's basically how you would say that. In other words, he's making a statement. I'm telling you guys, I'm telling the truth. This is the truth. So Jesus speaking the truth. Jesus said he don't speak anything the Father, anything that the Father doesn't say. He says, before Abraham was, I am. That's a huge statement. God introduced himself to Moses as I am. He didn't say, I was. This is a powerful statement. I am. I am, in fact, if you look it up in the Hebrew, over to Hebrew, it's a reference to the self-existing one. God is self-existing. He is self-existing. Jesus says, I'm that guy. He said, before Abraham, because they were talking about Abraham was their father. He said, I was before Abraham. He said, you know, he said, before Abraham, he said, he says to him. Now, you know, to us, we read these things lots of times from our nice little American culture and everything else. And people read these things, and he says, I am. He just made a statement and said he's God. Why do you think they wanted to kill him? They did after this thing. They want this guy here. This is blasphemy. This guy said... Here God was standing in front of him. God is standing in front of him. But because he's not operating as God, he's operating as a man. But he is no less God. He is no less eternal God standing in front of them. Now you think about this. We need, and the church world today needs a revelation of Jesus Christ as eternal God. If we don't, we'll never have the respect or show him the respect of the word to believe what it says. This is why the church, a bunch of church will say, oh, he's God. Well, if we believed he is God, then we'd believe what he said was true, and we wouldn't be telling people wouldn't be telling people this, all this stuff ain't for today and all that, that. They wouldn't be all that stupid stuff. The reason they do it is they don't believe it's true. It's not a revelation to them. He is God, eternal God. He's the I am. He's the I am. And so, it's seeing that before Abraham was, I am. I am. He didn't say I was. He introduced, he said, I am the self-existent. I've always, I am is saying, I always existed and I always will exist. I am. He didn't say I was or I will be. He made a statement, I am. And really, in the realm of the spirit, that's what it is. If you went up to heaven, there's nobody up there thinking from the standpoint of, you know, it's like people get caught up to heaven and they asked how long they have been there. There's people who died. People got caught up to heaven, talked to people and said, how long have you been here? And they said, so they try to think in the areas of time. I forget who it was talking about an individual that they met having been in heaven for a long, long time, you know, hundreds of years. Talked to them, and the person, how long have you been there? And he said, oh, a couple of days. You know, to see, there's no relevance of time. It's like, I just got here. You've been there for hundreds of years, and I just got here. Isn't that nice? I mean, but see, this is, you know, and see, from us, we're thinking in the areas of time. Jesus made a statement, and I know it had to blow them away. He said, I am. I am. They had the I am standing in front of them. They didn't know it. It wasn't that they couldn't have. It was because of their thinking and the way that they thought. What they thought the Messiah should be and what he was really wasn't what he was. But they had their own. They had their own idea. Listen what Jesus. This is what Jesus prayed in John. I'll read a couple of scriptures here and then we'll close. John 17. This is Jesus' prayer. Jesus is praying. He's praying concerning himself and for his disciples and for the ones who would believe on what he said. But he made this statement in verse 5. And he says, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. In other words, what's he praying? Father, glorify me. Well, in other words, do you ever think about this? Why is he, if Jesus, and we need to understand this, Jesus operated as a man in this earth, things just didn't happen because he was God in the earth. He literally operated as a man. He prayed here that God would glorify him. Well, that's what happened in the resurrection. He had to believe to be resurrected. Do you know that? He had to believe to be resurrected. See, people like that, well, this was God's plan, so it just happened. No, it didn't. What's he doing praying this, that God would give him the same glory he had with him? In other words, he's going to be glorified God again. In other words, I'm going to go back to the position that I was before as glorified God. That's where I'm going to go. Father, you give me that. Why would he be praying that if it was just going to happen because he died? No, he's walking, he's being obedient to Father just like every human does. It's just like people don't get to heaven, they don't accept Jesus. You got to act in faith. And things in life, nothing's coming to us in life unless we act in faith for it. It ain't going to just happen. God made promise. God's plan was to raise him from the dead. But his actions here, what he's praying, he's believing that the word is true. He's going to be resurrected. The word's true. He's acting like a man. He had to, in the earth, do what men had to do to please God. And so he, just think about it, he's believing, he was believing. Also in that same one, you look down at verse 24, he makes this statement. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So he goes back again and refers back to that time. In other words, back to the things of before his dealing with the areas of pre-existence. And so, there's loads and loads of things, and we'll go down through and dealing more on the areas concerning his pre-existence and things, because it's important for us to understand that, is to sit down and look at his ministry, realizing who and what he was, and understanding him as that, in the fact that when he was raised from the dead, he didn't become glorified God then. Church world, basically true. They act like Jesus stepped into something he didn't have before. No, he didn't. Jesus took us into His glory. That's what He did. It's what He was. You know, I've heard people make statements over time, and it's really true. He says, Jesus, became what we were so we could become what He is. And really, that's the truth of it. That's what it is. So you and I could have the glory of God. So you and I could know and walk in the glory of God. That's what He did. He stepped out of the glory, came down here and lived as a man, so you and I could step into the glory that He lived with, that He always lived in before. So men could live in that eternal glory. And so we're supposed to walk in that and live in that. So let's, I hope this just gives you a little bit of a different perspective of Jesus. And that's what we want to do. I want to see Him as He is. Not see Him as, you know, somebody else said. I want to see how what the Word says about Him. And if what the Word says about Him, that we're, make that our truth. This is our truth about Him. You know, they just keep trying to humanize Jesus. And you know, he is a God-man, but we don't say He's God. And you know, when you try to make God just into some old, like, you know, human, they make Him into fallible, they make Him into everything. You can't think in those terms. He was not. He was sinless. You never ran into anybody like that. You never saw one. And you know, today, if somebody was sinless, 99.9% of Christians wouldn't know. They'd accuse them of sin when they didn't, because of our ideas and religious thinking. And but I believe we have to see Jesus how He is to become what He wants us to be. We take the things and we make the Word of God true and begin to say, this is who He was. So when we go down and look at His ministry and what God wanted to accomplish, and truly, you know, we can't go to the cross and die for nobody's sin. We don't need to. That's what He came for. But I tell you, we can fulfill all the ministry that He called us to. And what He said, the way things work, that's the way they work. Amen? Let's pray in closing. Father, we just want to say thank You tonight for taking the Word and revealing it to us, showing it to us, opening it up to us. And Father, truly, we want Jesus Christ magnified and glorified, because what He did for us in stepping out of the glories of heaven to come down here and walk in the earth is absolutely a phenomenal thing. What great love. I mean, Lord, it's hard to even grasp or comprehend or even think upon such kind of a love, that He would do what He did for us. And truly, Lord God, when Your Word tells us that Your mercy endures forever, surely does. Hallelujah. It's incredible. And so we just want to thank You for Your kindness and mercy to us that You showed through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we declare You as Lord and God. Hallelujah. You are King of Kings. And we just, Lord God, humble ourselves before You, because You're the ruler of heaven and earth and all under the earth. Hallelujah. And we thank You. We're glad that we can call You our Lord. Hallelujah. So we thank You, Father God, tonight. Lord, I thank You're going to take these things that we've seen and looked at in the Word. And Lord God, give us further understanding and comprehension along these lines, Lord God, so we can walk and fulfill the glory in the earth and show forth this glory, Lord God, so men come to this wonderful Jesus and to be born again. Hallelujah. Pass from death unto life. We thank You for all that You'll do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.